When we think about the adjectives that describe our work as therapists, one that probably doesn't come to mind very often is funny. Our work is generally serious, sometimes incredibly, overwhelmingly serious, and we see and hear about a lot of heavy things. But then again, our job entails us to connect with other humans in real ways where we get past the pleasantries and politeness of most other interactions. And of course, that human connection can create moments that are funny, where we laugh with our clients. And I think that's incredible. I think it builds therapeutic rapport when it's done the right way, but we might also have to think about when and how it's truly serving our clients. As part of this piece, I posted on Facebook asking therapists to share funny moments that had come from their work, and a lot of clinicians reached out with funny stories. A lot of them revolved around bugs or animals creeping into the room, sometimes with both the client and the therapist jumping onto the furniture. Many were about telehealth sessions, sometimes distracted by toddler nudity in the background. One therapist wrote about a telehealth session she had where she was convinced her client was trying to distract herself by asking about what was going on behind the therapist on screen. And she several times responded by saying, "Why do you think you're asking about that? Like, what might you be trying to avoid?" Only to figure out after the session that her apartment was being flooded by a faulty washing machine. And then there was this other story I got a private message about, which immediately just had me cackling. So I asked him to hop on a call and hear more. And I'll play that for you here in a bit in a distorted voice as the therapist is still a little embarrassed to broadcast this story publicly. My name is Tobin Richardson. I'm a counselor educator with the vision to save the therapist by creating a forever free podcast style platform designed for learning. And here I want to talk about laughter and humor and the ethical dilemmas that can come with them in the therapy room.
Okay, so when I was a brand new baby clinician, I'd probably been there about 6 months or so. I at the point where I thought I knew what I was doing and I was starting to feel confident, but looking back, I didn't know anything. But I had this client who was an older woman who I had a really good relationship with. I think at that point she was one of the longest clients that had been on my caseload, and I really liked her, and we had good rapport going, and one day she, towards the end of the session, I had known that she didn't drive herself to session, like somebody else dropped her off and picked her up, and she sort of made this offhanded comment of, "My grandson is picking me up and he has a question that he wants to ask you." And so my first instinct, kind of without thinking about it, is I started kind of going into my confidentiality speech, like, you know, I can't really talk to him about your case. And then she kind of corrected me quickly and said, no, it's not about me. He has a question for you about something. I got the gist that he wanted to ask me about an emotional support animal. Like, he wanted to know if I could, I guess, help him to get documentation he needed to be able to take an emotional support animal. And so then I'm kind of thinking, you know, I've never done this. I'm not the right person for this. I don't know how to say it in a nice way. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not prepared to do that. So I sort of just walk out with her, and I see her grandson, like, who realizes her grandson, waiting out in the lobby for her. And he starts telling me, like, "Yeah, I'm about to move apartment complexes and I need a letter for an emotional support animal. And it's not a scam, you know, like, I really do. This is really important for me and my mental health that I get this." And for some reason, I sort of, like, agree to do it, or I at the very least say, "I'll look into it, you know, like, I'll do research and see if I can figure out how to do it." And As I was walking back into my office, I start thinking, wow, that changed really fast. Like, I was dead set on the fact that I wasn't going to do this, and now all of a sudden I've sort of agreed to at least do some research to look into this. And I, like, the other detail that's probably important to say here is, like, he was really, really cute. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, striking, you know? Like, I walked out there and I was like, whoa. You know those old pictures of Mark Wahlberg, like, back in the 90s? He kind of looked like that. Like, he had that look of, like, classic, you know, like, timeless handsomeness. And I just couldn't, I don't know, like, that might have had something to do with my inability to say that I couldn't do that. I don't know, just maybe. I don't know. Did I mention he was good looking? And so, I start to, like, do a lot of research about some emotional support animals. I didn't have the time, you know, I was really overworked, but I found myself just every second I had really looking into, where can I get the right training for this? What are all the details and the criteria and what, you know, like, what are the ethical implications of working through this? And I was actually even, like, looking at all these trainings that I could do, you know, trying to figure out. Most of the trainings were ones that were really expensive or couldn't fit into my schedule. But at one point, I remember I was, like, looking at a weekend training to see if I could get this done, because it had to be soon, you know, for some reason. I really felt like I needed to do this soon. And I was sort of going back and forth in my head because I think even at the time, I knew that that was kind of ridiculous. But then the other side of me was, like, trying to convince myself. I was telling myself that, no, this is important. Like, this is something that's going to be really helpful in my career, even though I had never had that request before. Like, you know, that was not a priority. But it was hard to admit that to myself at the time. So I really spent a lot of time kind of looking into this. And at some point, I came to my senses. I started to realize I can't do this. You know, I'm not qualified to do this. I don't have the time to fit in the right training to do this. And so I kind of begrudgingly admitted to myself, I'm going to have to tell him. I'm going to have to tell him that he really needs to find somebody else to do this. And so the next session, did she mention, like, her grandson was coming back in to pick him up and kind of offhandedly ask, like, have you had a chance to look into the question he asked you? I said, yeah, I can come out and kind of talk him through that. And so I walk out into the lobby and he looks just as good as he did the time before. But I muster up all my strength and I say, yeah, I'm really sorry. That's, like, not my area of specialization. You know, here's some other people that you might be able to look into that are more experienced in that area. And he says, okay, like, thank you so much. And so as I'm sort of saying goodbye, I think I must have mentioned something about, like, he's a really lucky dog to have you, you know, as his owner. And he looked kind of puzzled, and he was like, oh, no, it's not for a dog, it's for my pet gerbil. It was a pet gerbil the whole time, so can you imagine if, as a brand new clinician, I would have spent all that time researching on dogs, what the whole time I had just assumed that his pet was a dog, and it would have been a gerbil. That would have been a lesson, for sure.
Up next, you'll hear from Rafi Billick, who's a licensed clinical social worker specializing in couples counseling. And he's also funny, professionally and personally. I realized it when I first talked with him. It's part of the energy he brings to a conversation. He wrote about humor and therapy in a blog post, which got my attention. That's how I found him. He told me a lot of others have reached out about it as well. He wrote that people in his life who are not his clients sometimes wonder, how could you be a therapist? It doesn't seem to fit with their vision of the profession. But he goes on to write about how being himself in session, which sometimes includes joking and being funny, has all types of advantages. It actually makes him a better therapist. Here he is.
Have you always been funny?
You know, it's funny. I have not always been funny, for sure. In elementary school, and I guess what you would call middle school, I was in Canada, so they have elementary until sixth grade, and then high school is 7th to 11th. So elementary, middle, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was not very social, socially awkward, a big nerd, definitely not the life of the party kind of person. And when I moved to the States when I was 14, and I met some friends in high school that really just I jived with, and we all just really were able to just be funny and fun. It was a small high school, and we got away with a lot. And that was a fairly seminal time in my life for the development of funniness in my life.
Is it hard to turn off? Like if you're in a session, is it just like that? I my instinct is to be funny. How am I supposed to not be funny here?
Right. It is hard to turn off. And I have invested a good deal of personal work on learning to do that. I had issues with boundaries and knowing the line. I would cross the line a lot, and I wouldn't know where to stop necessarily and who to use it with. So I've been very thoughtful about being judicious with humor. And I am also a non-funny person in the session. I'm a compassionate and empathic person. But I think humor helps a lot because, you know, I do mostly couples counseling, and people are coming in with these difficult problems, and it's embarrassing, and that, you know, there's the two of them there, and being able to get people to laugh, it relaxes things. It helps the medicine go down a bit when I have to call somebody out. So having that as a tool, but also knowing when to use it and when not to use it, definitely an important balance.
Yeah. So when you said that about learning the boundaries, you mean, did you mean that like as a therapist, that was something you kind of had to learn, or you mean like earlier in life?
I mean, as a human being. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, not everybody wants to be funny all the time. I mean, there are some people who don't want to be funny any of the time. I tend not to hang out with those people so much, but you have to engage with them.
I guess, what do you say to the clinician who says, I just don't think therapy is a space for comedy?
I've never had anybody actually say to me that kind of line, like therapy and humor, you know, never the twain shall meet. I don't know. Have you encountered somebody who said, no, you cannot, you should not do that?
I agree. I don't think somebody would say that, but I definitely think there are therapists who never laugh. And so, you know what I mean? Like their instinct would just always be to be very serious in session.
Sure. I would imagine those are people who are very serious and have trouble laughing in general.
Yeah. That makes sense. Has there been a time that you can talk about in a therapeutic space where you used humor and like it didn't work? You felt like it didn't connect with the client?
So I remember one instance where a client left, and I didn't know why. And then one of the partners came back and said, yeah, I had said something that rubbed the other one the wrong way. That has happened once in my career. Not to say that other people haven't left for that, but it's the only time I know that I said something, which is unfortunate, and I feel bad, and I apologized. I don't always get it right. But most of the time, you know, if I'm using it, it's good. Actually, I remember another time where I sort of came into the waiting room, and there was this couple waiting, and I was very sort of jovial, not necessarily telling a joke, but like, hey guys, how's it going? And it turns out they'd had like a really bad week and things were really bad. And it just didn't go well. But we had, you know, we had a relationship already, and so we were okay to talk about that. I would never walk in on the first moment and start joking around. Like, I don't know what someone's coming to me with. You know, I often have couples walk in, they just discovered an affair, like, you know, a day ago or something, to walk in and start telling my favorite infidelity joke, and I have a favorite infidelity joke, that would not be the time. So Yes. I'm really glad that I spent the time learning and sort of learning about myself and figuring myself out better before I started bringing this into the therapy room, because I was a loose cannon in the past. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's getting to know your clients. Some clients, it's hard to describe. I have a sense like, oh, these guys I shouldn't be joking with. This guy I can tell the joke with. Or sometimes I'll tell a joke and it'll just go like pass totally by and nobody will notice. And I'll be like, oh, okay, noted. That's not going to go anywhere. I don't think there's ever been a client where I've said, I can never make a joke with this person. I think everybody has the capacity to smile, to laugh, to see humor. And so I think, you know, for some people more, some people less. And certainly when we're talking about very sensitive situations, even less so. But it's there. It's a tool that I have in my pocket. And I have better control over it to use it when I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. So it sounds like for you, it's very much like part of your clinical skills. Like you figured out the ways in which it builds rapport and like helps kind of maybe break the ice initially. And you also feel like, you know, times to pump the brakes, and maybe now you're not having to think about it quite so intentionally.
Right. It's definitely not something I'm thinking about consciously. It's more, this sense that I have like about the tone. And we all do this in different ways. I mean, you can sort of walk into a room and know how people are feeling. You know, if I sort of sent you into like some funeral room, you may not be the funniest guy, but you have a sense like, I should just sort of keep a tone down here. But, you know, if you walked into like somebody's, you know, birthday party or something, you would also have a sense like, this is not a time that I should be, you know, quiet in the corner. So because I just sort of resonate with humor in my personality, I guess that I sense that maybe more than someone else would. But it's not usually something I don't have like a clinical measure where I check people, you know, I check it off and ask, okay, like the humor scale, and decide whether you are a person I can use jokes with or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think this is something that gets lost sometimes when we think about techniques and, you know, course, like things you'd build out a CE course on, is that we all are sort of just like a person connecting with another person. And
yep.
We kind of know how to do that, like at least to some extent. If you overanalyze that, it's probably going to be counterproductive at some point.
When I tell people about the jokes that I make with clients, are you thinking about the guy who says to me, like, hey, we need to talk about my, I think I might have short-term memory loss. And I said back to him, yeah, I know you told me that 5 minutes ago. So again, I had a rapport with that guy. You know, I knew that he could handle it. He figured it out moment afterwards that I was ribbing him. I wouldn't do that with somebody who walks in on the first day worrying about memory loss. Like that would not be appropriate. But you know, for this guy, whatever, he's like, really? And then he got it and he was like, it's funny. It's off the cuff. My brain, thankfully, I'm very happy, works in this way that I just see these things where most people don't. And great, it is good room for fun and games for everybody. Again, you know, at the right time in the right place.
Can you talk more about in instances where it would be inappropriate or unethical to try to bring humor into a therapeutic space? I guess, what would that look like? Do you have a vision of that?
How to describe it? I mean, let's maybe do case studies. I'm thinking of a couple I saw a while ago where she came in looking dead, like pale and expressionless, and proceeded to tell me about how she was a child prostitute and heavily abused by her parents, et cetera, et cetera. That didn't feel like the right time for a joke. Here was some really heavy material. Here was a person really still living with her trauma. That's not a time to lighten it, right? Part of what we do as therapists is to help them carry the load. And sometimes you can make a joke and help people see that they've sort of added to their own load. You know, people, something with anxiety or depression, in ways they're sort of, you know, taking on more than they actually have to. That's a good source for humor. When somebody is actually grappling with real trauma, it's not a joke. You know, my job there is to help them live with that, manage that, become okay with what's going on. Not that I'm a trauma therapist, by the way, by any means. But it wasn't the time to make light of it. That said, you know, at the end of a session, when things are beginning to wrap up and people are moving out of that heavy space, that can be a good time. Usually at the end of a session, I will try to lighten the mood. I'll make some jokes about how I'm really the best therapist in town, so it's good they found me or something like that. I don't know. But like, you know, where it's just, you know, making fun of myself somehow. And again, just trying to make it comfortable. You know, I want them to leave with a good taste in their mouth, especially after a first session.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm wondering if, okay, so this kind of just came to me as you were saying that, but like you mentioned your specialty is couples work. I'm wondering, so because I've heard that a great way to kind of like reconnect couples is through humor. I'm wondering if that's part of like what's made you successful with this group specifically, is like kind of trying to use that as a way to connect your clients. I mean,
you're assuming I'm successful, and thank you. Not necessarily the case. I think humor is connecting. You know, when we can laugh together, there's a shared experience there, and it's a positive experience. And getting them to laugh together, maybe not necessarily at each other. I mean, you know, not everybody is the funny telling kind of person. And they may not be, but again, most people have some humor. They can laugh at something. And if we're laughing together, like, oh, again, there's a positive connection. Instead of just connecting around the mechanics of fixing what we're fixing or talking about the difficult things, like, okay, we can have a good time in session two. And that can be nice.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think through this angle of, this is one of the things when I was thinking about this topic in my head, you know, so trying to think about humor applied to ethical issues, like one of the, my immediate thought was there might be a difference between using it partially as a clinical strategy or as a rapport building strategy versus if there's times I can't really even think what this would look like, but where it would be crossing the line kind of like to serve the therapist, like,
sure,
to
right.
Like an entertainer or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I guess how would you know if you were crossing
the line? I think it's the same approach as we use to self-disclosure, which is that if it's for the sake of the client, it could be a good thing. If it's for your sake as the therapist, not so much. And so the humor, I don't know that I'm perfect at this, but if I'm making a joke to entertain myself or because I have a really good zinger, probably not the best way to go about it. But if I am using it because I want to bring some lightness to the situation or connect with the client, that I think is a great way to use it. I don't know that I think through it every time I have a joke to make. Again, they just kind of come to me. Like if I'm going to say something, it just comes out. That's not true. It doesn't just come out. It comes to my mind. And then I have to sort of on the fly figure out if I'm going to say it. I don't think that I am making jokes to please myself, but I want to have a rapport with these people. And being the real me is the best way to do that. You know, if I'm going to try to be someone that I'm not really going to help the clients as best as I could. And if humor is part of me and I use that in a way to connect and to say, hey, we're good, we're cool, we're, you know, this is not so unpleasant. That's another thing, is, you know, a lot of people are reluctant to come to therapy. We often call them husbands. And being able to make it a less painful process is really therapeutically beneficial. I've definitely had couples come in where the woman insisted they come to couples counseling. Remember, I had this big guy one night, bald, had like a chain around his neck, and he's sitting there cross-armed looking at me, like, you know, from the beginning of the session. And that, I could tell when they walked in that was gonna be a toughie. And by the end, he was like, wow, I thought that was gonna be bad. That wasn't so bad. Like, again, you know, you bring in a little bit of lightness, a little bit of self-deprecating humor, and it makes people go like, oh, that's not so bad. I could do this again. If you're using lightness to look away from a difficult situation or to distract or deflect, I think that's a problem, whether it's humor or lightheartedness or whatever. You know, again, you know, talking to this woman about her very horrible childhood, we had to look at that. You know, if you look away or you make a joke because you're uncomfortable, again, that's serving myself and definitely not serving the client. If there's a place to make a joke to help them feel more comfortable about something, you know, let's say somebody comes in and has some embarrassing problem to share, to be able to joke about that in some way. Again, not to make fun of it, right? Never making fun of the client, except in this sort of good-natured way. Once you have a rapport, but to be able to laugh about whatever they're going through can help them feel less shame, feel less discomfort, and that can be, you know, like really helpful.
Like, I like the point that you made about really asking yourself if it's like an avoidance technique or if it's a way to deflect from the problem. That's one thing.
Yeah, people who have developed humor, you know, in their lives, like me, it's often because I'm the middle kid. I'm sort of the peacemaker sometimes in the family or in social situations or whatever. And humor is a great way to deflect from that, right? And distract, you know, when things get tense, you make a joke and that diffuses it, and that's great. But that's not therapy, right? In therapy, you don't want to diffuse it. You want to take the energy and the difficulty and look at that and do that together and come out the other side. If you disperse the energy, you're losing the therapeutic power.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I like the way that you put that, because I think it's so easy to lump it into like good or bad, where I like the more nuanced way you've thought about it is it could be good or bad. It depends kind of where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think that's true of most things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, few things are that black and white. Yeah,
yeah, like to talk about the ethics of it, I think that there probably are people who might say it's not ethical, you know, to be loose like that and to throw around jokes because you might harm somebody. That's true. Like, you know, when you make jokes, there's always the risk that someone gets offended. You have to be careful with that. You have to know your audience. You know, I'd said, like, you never want to make fun of your clients. Well, I'll qualify that, right? I have definitely had clients who'd be like, Rafi, I don't know about this. Like, I'm not sure, because, you know, I'm such a stubborn person. I'll go, you? No, come on, you stubborn? And we make a whole big joke about it. But again, we have a relationship. And they go, with this sort of like got me look on their face. And again, that allows us to get deeper into it. Rather than being defensive about it, we can now laugh about this issue and get into it. So again, it's there to serve a purpose. If I'm doing it to be seen as funny, to distract, to enjoy, there's an ethical problem. Again, I think it's very much like we said for self-disclosure. The ethical guidelines are simply, if you're doing it for the client, it's a good thing. And, you know, I bring myself to the room because I think that's good for the clients. I bring the humor when I think it's appropriate and helpful to them. But it can't just be like any other tool. You can't just use it across the board. I mean, you know, the research has shown that really the only, if not the most important, if not the only important factor, is the relationship with the therapist, right? Which modality you're using matters very little. What the issue is matters very little. It's the relationship. I think that people have to be real with themselves. If you like making jokes and it comes to you naturally, great. And that's a good thing to use, like any other part of yourself. You know, the self is a critical tool in therapy. If it's not you, you don't need to try. You know, like there are many tools that I don't use. I'm really not great with somatic stuff. You know, where is the pain? Where do you feel this in your body? It just doesn't jive with me. Okay, fine. So I'm not going to try to use that. It would be kind of unethical for me to use a tool that I don't feel comfortable with. There's no need to be funny in session, but I think there's no need not to be funny in session. I'm all about let's be human.
So from what I've seen exploring the topic of the ethics of humor in therapy, is it okay? The consensus seems to be yes. Using humor can actually be very effective. As long as it's done thoughtfully and sensitively, it can help to create a relaxed, trusting environment, and it can diffuse tension. On the other side of the coin, humor shouldn't undermine the seriousness of the therapeutic space, which can be tricky to navigate, and of course should never be used to dismiss a client's feelings. It should be incorporated only if it's appropriate to the context of the situation or session. Ultimately, if you have an instinct to joke in session, ask yourself, does this maintain respect for the client's experience and goals? And when in doubt, check in with the client, ask what they think. Rafi finished up his piece on humor and therapy with a quote, which I also wanted to conclude with here. I think it's fitting. You know what I think? Laughter is love. And love is the most buoyant of human experiences. If you're coming to me for help, I'll use whatever tools I've got to lift you up. Comedy, it's just one of them.